Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Well, greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 23rd, 2016. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And my emergency phone, come to think of it today, all day long it says it's been searching for a signal. Well, that doesn't happen here. I think we've got a cell tower down in the area, because I know my son's phone, which is on a different service, it's broke down too, doing the same thing. But the other number is 620-878-4682. And I won't give out the emergency number today, so it won't do you any good to call it. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live also on the net internationally. So pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free in another week. About another 10 days, something like that, radio airtime to do again. As you know, folks, we do not sell anything. It's only due to your kind donations that we are able to stay on the air and bring you these great guests that we have and keep you informed. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are very smartphone friendly. And I found out that we are picked up on Blog Talk Radio. We're also picked up over on I think it's the Google Play Store, and of course we put the programs on YouTube. So many different ways to listen. And in fact, if you go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, you'll find out that we can be picked up on telephone and a couple of other ways, and another couple of stations or something. So there's many, many different ways that you can hear this program. So what I want you to do is share these programs with others, and that will help us, because the more people that listen in, the more people get warned, and then that means out of those hopefully some of those people will support what we do. Anyway, on another note, I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Beijing, China, Akira, Guyana, Kadura, Nigeria, Cali, Colombia, Paris, France, DBI, United Arab Emirates, I can never pronounce that thing, forget it. Anyway, San Jose, California, hey, I was born there. Newark, New Jersey, New York, Dallas, Texas, Plano, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Chicago, Illinois, San Francisco, California, this list just goes on and on and on, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners that is to our radio programs when they hit podcast later tonight. Now, prayer will bring on today's guest, and I'm sure we'll have an interesting conversation. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I ask that you, radio goes according to your will and not our will, Father, and that you allow this program to go forward with the storm out there, Father. So just bless us tonight and give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. In your Son's mighty name, Yeshua HaMashiach, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Pastor Carl Gallup. Yeah, he just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. But you all love him because I know because I can tell how many of you pick up his radio programs. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host, heard internationally and nationally. He's on TV and radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. And hey, and we'll have to ask him about this. I just noticed on his webpage, looks like that he just got, deputized to be a special deputy by, Arizona Sheriff of Pyle. We'll have to ask him about that. Anyway, he's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. His ministry, which he is the founder of, is P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's written four books. He wrote The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhar Kaderi and His Prophecies of the End Time, The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending Your Christian Faith, Final Warning, and his newest book called Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Trouble. Now, I think Carl's got another book coming soon, but we'll ask him about that, too. So let's just get on with it and welcome Pastor Carl Gallup. Are you there with me, Carl?
I am here, Pastor Dan. Thanks for having me. You know, you say I keep on coming and coming and coming on, you know, to the show. Well, as often as you invite me, I'm going to be here, brother. Thank you. God bless you for your graciousness.
Yeah, amen. I left that out, folks. I do keep asking that. But, Carl, I ask, you know, modern day times, you know, I can't tell when we're broadcasting live right now, you know, how many people are listening. I know a lot. But when it gets over into, you know, our podcast thing, they give me a statistic that shows me where the programs are being picked up at and how many programs, you know, like when you talk, well, I can see how many people have downloaded your program, that, and so they like it because otherwise they wouldn't be continually, downloading your program unless, of course, they're doing it to torture somebody, you know what I mean? Just playing it over and over, you know?
That's probably what it is. They're probably playing it on their boombox in their house to keep the roaches and the rats out. I don't know. Pastor Dan, listen, you're so kind. Thank you for that. I love being on your show. You're a good friend and a dear brother.
Yeah, amen. Thank you. Anyway, what's this? I noticed you on your website, you got a thing where it says you're being deputized. What's that about?
Yeah, that happened a couple of months ago. You know, I think we've talked before, but I've been involved for several years now with Mike Zullo, who is the lead investigator of the cold case posse of Sheriff Arpaio, Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, and the Obama fraud case. In fact, you'll remember from previous conversations that I went out to Washington, D.C. with Mike and Mike Zullo, and we went into some congressmen's offices and talked to a lot of important people. And Mike has been carrying on this investigation under Sheriff Arpaio's orders, and he's gone back and forth to Washington. He's met with judges. He's been in the National Archives. He's been in speaking to former CIA contract workers and software developers, and he has just uncovered so much stuff. Some of it, of course, I'm not at liberty to speak of. But anyway,
right.
I've had him on my show a lot. We've developed a great relationship. In the meantime, Sheriff Arpaio knew all about me. And here a few months ago, Sheriff Arpaio wanted to meet me because he had been on my show a couple times and knew all about me through Mike Zullo. So I flew out there to Arizona, met with him behind closed doors for several hours. This was right after I did the opening prayer at the Pensacola, Florida rally for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he flew me out there after that because he and Trump knew each other, and I think then he realized that, you know, that I kind of had some, some connections, I guess, through Mike and then the people that were with Trump. And so he asked me then if I could arrange for Donald Trump people to call him and that he would, if he was officially asked, that he would give a public endorsement of Donald Trump. So I did. I stepped down in the hall and Pastor Dan and made a few phone calls and it happened, and they called him, and, yeah, he flew up to Iowa, endorsed him, and, of course, he keeps introducing him out in Arizona and endorsing him on the news.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, anyway, about 3 or 4 weeks later, he asked me to come back out there, And he told me that he wanted to deputize me officially and swear me in and make me a special deputy. And he did. I went out there and spent 2 more hours with him behind closed doors. We talked about this case. And so, yeah, he did, Dan. And it was done for integrity's sake. You know, I used to be in law enforcement. And but this way it kind of – it holds me more accountable to them because I know so much of what they're doing now.
Right.
I know a lot of the inside scoop on the investigation. And it holds them accountable to me. So, that way I can get more of the inside scoop and I don't have to worry if they're blowing smoke in my ear or whatever. So, anyway, it kind of works both ways. And, just the other day, Sheriff Arpaio said publicly that, and of course I knew this, but this was out of his own mouth, that this investigation he's got going on Obama is deep and it is ongoing. It is for real. He intends on doing something big with it. I think, and this is just my guessing, this is not an official announcement, but I think he's probably waiting until Donald Trump goes in office. He and Trump are good friends, and Trump kind of knows what's going on with this investigation.
Yeah, just a couple of words on that. Yeah, number one, being sworn in deputy, you know, it's cool. You know, that's a cool thing. But let's go with this. Is, you know, I kind of look for that. Almost impossible for the investigation to go forward with him in office. And so naturally, after office, and then, you know, the investigation, yeah, I could see it doing that the same way with Hillary. So, you know, technically, those two have an awful lot of stake in this election. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they do. Absolutely. And, you know, I've said that before and talked about that both of them do. And you're right. I mean, people have really been after Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zula these last couple of years, you know, demanding that they bring something forward. But the problem is, right now, you know, Congress is locked down. They won't do anything with Obama. The federal law enforcement, I mean, look at all the things that Obama and his attorney general's office should have already been, subpoenaed in deep investigations. But Congress hasn't lifted a finger to do any of that. And the attorney general, I mean, who's the sheriff going to take his information to? The attorney general? Attorney General Lynch? Attorney General Holder? You know, the media, what media is he going to take it to? I mean, even Fox News, they never talk about Obama's origins or his information that's on lockdown. So anyway, but he is going to do something with it, and it's going to be big. And he did release this public information, which I'm allowed to say, that they are working, the sheriff's office in Maricopa County is working with a foreign an overseas digital document expert company. They're internationally renowned.
Really?
And, this company apparently has made some pretty profound discoveries, and that's all I'm allowed to say. And Sheriff Arpaio is looking forward to something perhaps coming forward fairly soon. So, you know, he says it's for real.
I knew it was for real. I appreciate the update, even though that, you know, I mean, I never even thought of that, an update when I seen, you know, it was just a comment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that the Father blessed us with that update, because I have been very curious about, you know, what the disposition that was going on. But, amen. So now on a sadder subject, you know, what do you think about Orlando? I know you got a lot to say about it, what do you think?
Well, thank you, brother. Let me just kind of spill my guts a little bit, and then I know you'll have things you want to say and questions you might want to ask. I've done a lot of praying about it, preaching about it, teaching about it. I've been all over radio and answering people's questions. It's a complex topic. Well, you know, not so much to you and me, but just in the minds of folks out there, it's complex. There are many elements involved in it. You and I, We are real Christians. We are born again, spirit filled Christians. And what I mean by that, there's so many people in our country that will answer a polling question and say, "Yes, I'm Christian." And what they mean is that they're not Muslim or they're not Hindu or they're not Buddhist. But you know, but you and I know the Lord personally. We have a relationship with Yeshua HaMashiach, and through that, we are not haters of people. I mean, you and I understand that sin abounds and always has, and we know that this is why Christ came, to provide for the forgiveness of that sin. So I look at homosexuality, for example. It was 49 people killed in a homosexual bar, a gay bar in Orlando, and you know, there were actually preachers on the internet that were out there videoing themselves saying this is good. They were celebrating the death of these people, and then of course you have that crazy cult church out there somewhere that they were going to go to all the funerals and
yeah.
You know, protest. And I mean, you know, and people saying, really? Is that supposed to be our reaction? No. Biblically, that is not our reaction. Is homosexuality a sin? Of course. If those people had not been involved in that, if they were not in that gay bar that night, they would probably be alive today. Now, tragedies and killings happen everywhere. I mean, we know that. But I'm just saying that those particular people that died that night were, you know, found themselves in the line of fire because of that lifestyle. Now, so the thing is, I've been 30 years the senior pastor of one church on the Gulf Coast. I minister to and have personal relationships with through families and extended families and people in our community and even people in my own family and extended family for all of these years that are involved in the homosexual lifestyle. I mean, I love these people. I minister to these people. I have relationships with these people. But I don't compromise my stand on the biblical truth of homosexuality and what it can do to a culture, and especially when a culture legalizes it and celebrates it and makes it kind of a prime mover of the culture like it is right now. And so we look at this, and this horrific, and it was an Islamic terrorist attack. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And so we look at that. And the next day, you know, the media's out there, from the White House to the Justice Department to the ACLU to the media, they're suggesting that it was the fault of right-wing Christians, or that it was the fault of Donald Trump, or that it was the fault of the conservatives or the Republicans, and they went on and on. Well, why? Well, they say, you know, because, you know, we talk about it so much, and maybe it infuriates people. Well, then I would say, well, by that logic, then that shooting was also the fault of the radical homosexual community. Because now we found out that the guy went in there because he was struggling with homosexuality, and of course his religion, Islam, is against it, and yet he was involved in it. And so he targeted them because of that lifestyle. So, you know, this is just ridiculous, Pastor Dan. You and I know this. And we know this is demonic. It is spiritual. The Christian reaction to this ought to be one of sadness and sorrow, brokenheartedness, because those people that were killed, they all have families. They have mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, sisters, brothers, friends, people they work with, people that know them and love them. And besides that, Pastor Dan, you and I both know that more than likely, if they were actively engaged in that lifestyle, then they were not right with the Lord. I mean, according to the Word of God, and instantly those people found themselves in the clutches of death and waking up in hell, according to the Word of God. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm horrified by that. I mean, any time that people die without being right with the Lord, it's a tragedy. So the Christian response should be that of calm, even-mindedness, biblical love. You can love people, and I do. I minister to all kinds of people. I don't care what race, I don't care what culture, I don't care what religious persuasion or no religious persuasion, I don't care what sexual persuasion they have. If when I run into people in the course of life and ministry, I treat them with dignity and respect, I'm courteous, I'm as peaceful with them as they will allow me to be. But when it comes to standing on the issues, homosexuality, gay marriage, you know, this transgender issue, the radical homosexual agenda, the targeting of Christians, well, I'm going to speak to that. The Word of God speaks to it, and that's what I do, and that's who I am. So you've got all of that complexity. Then on top of it, Pastor Dan, you've got the whole Islamic terrorism thing. We're importing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, 1 million Muslims have been imported into this country under the Obama regime over the last 7.5 years, and he's planning on bringing in many more. And mosques are going up all over our nation. The FBI says that they're tracking ISIS cells in all 50 states. They also say that there are thousands, yes, I said thousands more like this dude in Orlando. Some of them, they don't even know where they are. They're having a hard time keeping up with it. There are training organizations, ISIS training organizations in the United States. Our borders are broken. They're open. ISIS is using it to bring through the refugee program. They're bringing Trojan horse ISIS soldiers into our nation. So look what one guy, and of course there's the possibility two or three others were with him, but look at one or two or three people. Look what they did in Orlando, the second largest terrorist attack in the history of our nation, the first, the largest mass murder, mass shooting in the history of our nation. Look what happened in San Bernardino just a few months ago. A man and a woman walked into a Christmas party at an office space, radical Islam, and they butchered and killed people. So we've got a problem, brother, and it's time for the churches to wake up. It's time for Christians to wake up, for pastors to wake up, for politicians and for America to get a grip on this thing. We're winking at sin that God calls depravity of mind. We're legalizing and celebrating and demanding that everybody get involved and celebrate it and pay for it. You know, gay marriage and transgenderism. We're opening up bathrooms in a criminal fashion, and we're refusing to deal with Islamic terrorism. It's like we've gone out of our minds, Brother Dan. But the Christian response is to keep speaking this truth, to be very prayerful, minister to people in love. Don't get out there and relish in anyone's death. But in the meantime, understand we're living in very prophetic times, and we've got to stay vigilant. I could talk about it for hours, but thank you for letting me get that off my chest.
Well, amen. I called you anyway so you'd talk, amen. But first thing, though, is you're absolutely right. You know, we cannot, just write them off in any way, shape, or form just because they are gay and have a different lifestyle than us. And just as we couldn't write off a Muslim, per se, or an Indian, we must tell, we must be treat them without judgment in order that we might reach them to tell them that Yeshua is the only way, that they may reach salvation. So if we react to them in hate or disgust or so on and so forth because they're not like us, then, you know, then we're not the witness that we're supposed to be, are we?
No, you're absolutely right. And I remind Christians all the time, look, we send missionaries into Muslim lands. Many of those missionaries risk their lives. Some of them have to go in undercover. We send them there to witness, to minister the gospel of Christ, to try to lead people out of Islam and out of those mosques and the brainwashing centers of radical Islam and away from ISIS and those radical elements. And so, you know, and we pray for those missionaries, and we pray. And listen, I've got it documented in my next book coming out this fall.
Okay. Hold that thought, Carl. We're going to have to come up to a break in a minute. Tell them where your website's at, and then we'll come back, and you can – and I want to hear about the book.
I'll make the point I was making. Yeah, my website's carlgallups.com, CARLGALLUPS, carlgallups.com. Thank you, Pastor Dan.
Well, folks, go over to Carl's webpage. I mean, he has got a lot of things over there for you to look up, and you can find his books through there. He's written some very good ones, and he's going to tell us a little bit about another book that we knew that he's been writing it for a year, but he hadn't really been at liberty to give a name or anything. But we'll talk to Carl in a few minutes, but we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, it's summertime, and in the summertime, we get a lot more different people. I mean, school's out, and so we actually get families coming over. We get women bringing children over, looking for clothing or a place to beat the heat, you know, and get out of the sun. And so things increase in the summertime. The thing that doesn't increase in summertime but goes the other direction is donations. You know, I don't know whether it is because I think it's part of our listening order audience is out on vacation. And, you know, money's just tighter in the summer because people want to go do some different things and they don't have, you know, the money to donate. Because we never considered ourselves to be the first donation. Like, you know, we expect you to donate to your church first. That should be the very first place that you donate. We're just another donation that you give us. We expect you to take care of the people around you, people in your family. So, you know, we're kind of down there on the list of things. And so even a lot of people say, well, why would you tell them that? You know, well, because it's the truth. And that's what we're about, is trying to get the truth out. You know, we really don't get any help from any of the organized churches or agencies. It's only folks like you that supported us for now our 17th year that we make the mission church work. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's is the first answer. They're treated as family when they come in the door. Nobody asks their name and all those things, you know. They can walk in the door and they can see what's going on. And sure, if they have a need they come to that they don't see, you know, I mean, we've got a clothes closet, they walk right into it, telephone they can use, so many services, food going on, and they find out from the other people. But they'll come to me and they'll ask for what they need, and then we'll talk about their name and their situation, and we'll pray with them, and just according to their need. I can't tell you how much anointing will I go through around the place. In fact, which reminds me, I need to make up a couple of new batches of it because I'm running out. But anyway, we don't have any set guidelines like programs. People walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. And if we don't have that need, well, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible to care one for another as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You know, if you don't want to help with the poor, please consider a donation for radio airtime, because it's radio airtime, radio that you're hearing right now, that our main source of people donating to us is through hearing this radio program. And besides, we need to get the warning out. You're hearing such good guests like Paul Gallup and others. And later on today, we're going to be talking with Philip Haney again, one of the founding members of Homeland Security. So in order to bring you these gifts, we have to stay on the air, and so therefore airtime. And we told you a week ago or so that some of our equipment is really messing up and we need to replace it. So we're really praying about a donation for radio today. So pray about it, and you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all the information you need at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl Gallup. Are you there with me, Carl?
I am here, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, amen. Well, why don't you pick up where you left off and finish that chain of thought you had?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Yeah, we were talking about the prophetic times in which we were living and the different times, the times that you and I didn't grow up in. And I was talking about how, you know, we Christians of all different Christian denominations, we send missionaries into the world, and a huge part of our missionary efforts are to win Muslims to Christ. Now, I can tell you, as I was saying, that in my new book coming out this fall, and in a few moments, I can tell you the name of it and generally what it's about, and I think you can even pre-order it now on Amazon, actually. But the bottom line is, in that book, out of dozens of things that I document, amazing things, one of the things that I document is that Muslims are being won to Christ by the millions every year. For the first time in history, there is a Holy Spirit revival moving among the Muslim nations of the world, and tens of thousands per month all over the world, into the millions per year are coming, I mean tens of thousands per week, excuse me, into the millions per year are coming to Christ. It's an amazing movement. We don't hear much about it, you know.
Right.
And so now here we are in America. And on the one hand, I say we need to get smarter about building mosques and importing, you know, refugees and ISIS Trojan horses and this Muslim terrorist attack in Orlando. And by the way, don't forget 9/11 and 20 terrorist attacks since then, every one of them carried out by Islamic operatives like San Bernardino, et cetera. But so we need to get serious about that on the one hand. But on the other hand, you know, we need to understand, Pastor Dan, I know you do, and most of your audience does, but we need to understand here in America, Christians do, churches do, that we also have a great opportunity to reach Muslims for Christ. A lot of these people coming over that claim to be Islamic or Muslims, they're just like a bunch of Christians out there. You know, in America, you take a poll and 70% of all Americans will say, well, we're Christian. Yeah, well, but most of those do not know anything about going to church or reading the scriptures or being born again, you know, but it's the same in the Muslim world. There are a lot of people who will tell you they're Muslim, but they haven't set foot in a mosque, maybe in their lifetime or at least in decades. They haven't read the Quran. All they know is their family, their heritage, the nation where they lived. They were Muslim. It was popular to be Muslim. You had to be Muslim. That was the only way you could survive, was to be a Muslim. It may be the heritage of their family, just like in so many Christian families. But now they're in America, and they're tasting of freedom and the ability for a good education and a chance to get ahead in life, and for their families to have businesses and to own businesses, and for their daughters to be educated, and they can actually drive, and they can actually have a good marriage, and so they get a taste of that. And I know Muslims like this, Brother Dan, and you probably do too. I've ministered to, I've shared the gospel with, and there are Muslims in America who love America. They love our Constitution. You start talking to them about the real inner working teachings of the Quran, and they're freaked out because they didn't know it. Listen, I've got a story for you. A friend of mine in the community where I live, he has a doctor who's a surgeon who he's sadly had to use a few times. And he was talking to her the other day. It's a woman, and she's Muslim. And he is right after the Orlando shooting, and he was talking to her, and he said, you know, she said something about this Muslim radicalism. And he said, well, he said, do you want to know where they're learning this from? And she said, well, they're getting it from the Internet. He said, no, ma'am, they're getting it out of the Quran. Well, he thought this was his surgeon, so he thought he's going to make her mad. She says, oh, no, that's not in the Quran. He says, yes, ma'am, it is. He said, I've read the Quran. She says, right. Well, no, it's not in the Quran, you know, to kill people. He said, oh, yes, ma'am. And it talks very pointedly about killing Christians and Jews and infidels and taking them as slaves, et cetera, and there are commands to do that. And she said, well, I'll have to admit, I don't read the Quran very much. He says, so he started quoting, you know, the Quran and the passage, the chapter and the verse. And then she said, she's been here in America for several decades. She's raised her children here. She's a surgeon in a hospital. She's Muslim through and through. She'll tell you, I'm Muslim. But she also says she doesn't go to mosque and she doesn't read the Quran. And so when he started quoting it to her, here's what this highly educated Muslim surgeon said. She said, well, those Muslims that are coming to America, if they go to mosques, if they read the Quran, they don't need to let them in America. I don't want them here. Now,
right.
That came from another Muslim.
Right.
So, you see, these are the kinds of things that we need to realize. This is a complex issue. Every
Absolutely.
Person going down the street that says they're a Muslim, they're not a terrorist, they're not a radical, evil person. Some of them are just, that's just their heritage, and they can be won to Christ and or at least made to be very good citizens and productive citizens. So it's complex, brother, and Christians need to do a lot of praying, teaching, and preaching, and we need to get our head wrapped around this because it looks like God's bringing them to us now.
Well, Abs, you know, first off, I absolutely agree with you that, you know, you can compare a lot of Muslims to a lot of Christians that I know that that, you know, you'll say something about the Bible and they say, well, that's not in the Bible, and because they haven't read the Bible.
Right.
You know, and they don't go to church. They might even, they might pray to, you know, Christ every day and all the other things, and they're pretty good people, but they haven't got into their word, so they really don't know what it says. I absolutely agree with that. And let alone you have a lot of the Muslims that are coming in, you know, they really have a less educational chance than the ones that are already here, meaning that they're in backward countries mostly, you know, and they're just get what's spoon-fed them, you know what I mean? Just like you said, their heritage. And so there is an opportunity, but there is also, you know, there's a lot of radicals. I just want to throw this in. There's Fox News put out an article a couple days ago that said that there's, they have proved that there's hundreds in this country that have been stopped since 9/11 of Muslims that were getting ready to perform acts of terrorism. Hundreds. And most of them were connected to refugees. Now, that's a whole other thing, you know, because it's been, I think those things have been redacted. In fact, I'm going to ask Philip Haney later. But along with your line of saving them, Joel Richardson pointed out, and he was just on my program a couple of weeks ago. Joel goes over there to those refugee camps, and he knows a lot of the guys over there. And you're absolutely right. There are thousands of Muslims that are giving their life to Christ, and that are, these people are seeing the kind of visions that we want. They are actually getting visitations from Yeshua, and, you know, the kind of things we'd like to see in America. Back to you.
Yeah, no, you're right. Joel, as you know, Joel Richardson's a dear friend of mine, and we've done some book writing together, and we've been on television together, and love him dearly. And, I've heard his testimonies and his stories, and I'm so glad you're having him on your program. He's an amazing guy, and he's a great witness to the fact of what you and I are talking about. God is doing the work. Listen, the United States may be turning its back on God, but there are a lot of people in the United States who are not, and there are a lot of people all over the world who are not. There is a revival going on around the world. See, we've just been hearing people say for decades in America that we believe there's going to be a revival in the end times, and immediately we think a revival in America. Well, I believe there is going to be a simultaneous revival in the end times. At the same time, there's a falling away. But it might not be in America, brother. And we're watching happen. We're watching Jews come to Christ in Israel, and a lot of it's because of the book I wrote and Zev Perad and his ministry. We're watching.
Just to interrupt you, how's Zev been? I haven't talked to him in about a little over a month. How's things going?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you need to get him back on your program. He has some amazing things and stories that have happened, and people he's led to Christ, and Orthodox Jews, and some hair-raising situations he's been in. And I mean, it's amazing. God is just still blessing. There's still a revival going on. Jews are coming to Christ, and so you've got all of that happening in Israel, and then in China, you know, people are coming to Christ. It's set to be the largest Christian nation in the world in just 15 years from now. Way bigger than the United States. And then you got Muslims by the millions every year coming to Christ. I mean, there is a revival going on around the world. People just don't realize it. In America, you know, we see churches dying over here, and, you know, we're ushering in gay marriage and transgender bathrooms and you know, and just all this stupid stuff. See, that's why I'm telling people, one of the reasons I'm supporting Donald Trump, and I'm not his campaign manager, and I know he leaves a lot to be desired, but Hillary Clinton will be Barack Obama on steroids. She will appoint Supreme Court justices. She will appoint other federal judges. She will continue to dismantle the military. She will attack the Second Amendment. She will continue Obamanomics and destroy this economy. She will continue Obamacare and destroy our health system. One thing that, and she'll continue with amnesty and open borders. Right. I mean, she said that. She has said that. But the thing about Donald Trump, he gets what you and I get and what your audience gets, and that's this. Look, we don't hate Muslims. We want to love Muslims. We want to open our arms to people who want to come here and escape the horrors of the Muslim Middle East radical world, provided they will be law-abiding citizens and contribute to this society called America. But what he says is, if you elect me president, I'm going to stop the madness on the border. I'll build a wall if I have to. I'm going to shut it down for a while. We're going to take a breath, and we're going to get a grip on what we've got in our own nation. We're going to get a grip on who's coming in, because like Department of Homeland Security and FBI has just said, there are thousands of people like the guy in Orlando, thousands of them. Look what one guy did. What could thousands do? And Donald Trump says, I know this. And he says, I want to get a grip on it. I want to stop it. And that's the only sane thing to do, Brother Dan. Now, that doesn't mean in the middle of it, I'm going to keep loving people, and I'm going to keep witnessing to and ministering to Muslims in our midst.
Yeah, amen. Just as we would any other sinner or lost soul.
Yes.
That's what we're obligated to do. If the Father put them in front of us, that we are supposed to witness to them. You know, we can't have the hatred. Yes, we have to be diligent in watching, you know, if we see something strange, because, you know, it's a mixed thing. You know, you were talking about Hillary. You know, those leftists, could you imagine what kind of atrocities that they would? I mean, they're just trying, the bathroom thing's just the start of it. You know, I hear that they're talking about pedophilia and some other things. What would the left actually pass if they were able to put Hillary in office, and then Hillary would put the Supreme Court justices in that would rubber stamp everything that she wants? What would this country be like in a year?
Yeah, I know. Well, we already have a taste of it in two ways. Number one, we've seen what Obama has accomplished in that way, and the horrific place we are in right now because of him, economy collapsing, military downsized, Second Amendment being attacked every time, gay marriage has been instituted, transgender bathrooms. I mean, I could go on and on. Obamacare, the destruction of our health care and health insurance. Number one, we would get all of that continued because she has said she supports Obama, she brags about it, she was a part of it, she's proud to be a part of everything he did. And then, of course, number two, we're going to get what she's promising in her campaign. She has promised in her crowds that she will fight the Second Amendment. She hates the Second Amendment. Well, brother, if they ever take the guns away from 150 million people in our nation that have guns, if they ever do that, then the First Amendment's gone. And our freedom is gone. And, I mean, it will be a total turnover of our nation to the socialist, communist, whatever you want to call them. So it will be horrendous if she goes in office. I'm telling you, it will be horrendous. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm just answering your question.
Yeah, I'm not trying to scare anybody either. But and you talk about how many guns are out there. And these people that are rushing to buy guns every time there's a little scare about, you know, changing the law, they're not buying those guns to give them up, folks. You know, those guns, what I'm trying to say is if they did per se, okay, everybody turn in your guns, Carl, do you really think that they're going to, the whole nation's going to turn them in? Or I think it would cause a civil war almost, or not a complete civil war.
Yeah, well, there are, you know, anywhere from 80 to 150 million people that have at least one gun, and most of them have multiple guns and ammunition. So, you know, out of that many millions, tens and tens and tens of millions, there may be a few million that would turn their guns in out of pure fear. But there will be tens and tens and tens of millions who will not, and I'm part of that. I mean, I'm just not going to put myself in a position where I cannot defend my family and innocent people around me. I don't care much about my own life anymore, but I do care about those. You know, if it was just me in the world, and, you know, they said turn in the guns, I might do it. But, brother, there are just too many people that I know and love and that are depending upon me, and I'm just not going to put myself in that position. I don't care what it costs. And there are tens and tens, maybe over 100 million people that agree with that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it really could cause a civil war. But, you know, but anyway, I'm sorry. We can talk about this all day. I know we're running out of time.
Oh, well, we've got about 5 minutes. There's a couple of things I wanted to ask you about before we got out. But, yeah, I know what you mean about at this stage of my life. July 4th, which is my birthday, I'll be 61. I'm in good shape. But, you know, I think a lot different than when I do. The things that I think about is what I'm going to leave behind, you know, for my children and the people that I take care of, you know. And so I have a greater worry than them than anything about my life.
Right.
But anyway, Carl, one thing is, are you yet going to reveal the name of this mysterious book?
Yes, thank you. I got to say to you, you are 9 days older than I am. I was born July 13th, and I will be 61 this 13th.
Oh, well, happy birthday. And I'm glad I'm older. I mean, you know, so somebody's got a good head here, you know.
Yes, yes. I need to respect my elders, and I'll remember that from now on.
Yeah, anyway, are you going to reveal the name of this mysterious book that you're writing?
Yes, it's not mysterious anymore. The name of it is When the Lion Roars, and it comes from Amos chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, "When the lion roars, who can help but prophesy?" And it starts off by saying, when the trumpet blows in a city, has the Lord not done this? Has the Lord not warned us of his judgment that is to come? When the lion roars, who can help but prophesy? And I can just tell you what the book is about is I start with the return of Israel, and I bring it right up to today. I mean today's headlines. And I show how dozens, Brother Dan, of intricately interwoven prophecies about the end times are being fulfilled right before our eyes. We're the first generation in the history of the world to watch them come together in astounding array, astounding display. And I document it all with historical sources, military sources, government sources, mainstream media sources, and, of course, the biblical teaching throughout. And I'm very excited about it. I'm very proud of it. I've written, there's about 35 chapters in it, but I've tried to keep all the chapters about 5 or 6 pages each. It's quick, it's snappy, it's easy to read, it pops off the page just like you're reading the headlines of the news, and then it takes you right into the Word of God, and I think it's going to surprise a lot of people what's happening and how quickly it's happening. I think it's going to be a great tool for pastors, preachers, teachers, especially people who've been afraid to deal with prophecy. This book does not set dates. It doesn't deal in any particular eschatology, you know, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. Right. I don't go into all that. I just say, look, here's what the Bible says, and here's what's happening, and here's what the media is saying, and here's what the military is saying, and here's what sources around the world are saying. Now, what do you think? Make up your mind. Where do you think we are? And that's how the book is written. And plus, there's some very practical chapters on how to live in these prophetic times.
Yeah, amen. Well, I can't wait to read it. So by that, when's it going to be out?
The release date is supposed to be October 24th. 25th. I think it's 25th. Yeah, my mother's birthday is the 24th. That's why I said that. October 25th is the release date. And, but I'm almost positive it can be pre-ordered on Amazon now. I know if you'll go to my website and click on my picture, that takes you right to my Amazon page, and you'll see the picture of the book there. And I know they're already, a audio book company has already purchased it, so it's going to be audio, it's going to be digital, and it's going to be soft cover, or maybe hardcover, I'm not even sure, but it will be in book format as well, of course.
Well, okay, yeah, hey, folks, and I did click over there, and I'm looking at the cover. Hey, that's a pretty neat cover. I like that, When the Lion Roars. That's a nice cover. Well, that's your fifth book, and I bet it's going to be a real hit. Especially, I like the mannerism, which you said that you wrote it. You kept the chapters short. It's easier to keep people nowadays, Carl, concentrated or whatever, if we do things like that, because they read shorter than when I grew up, novels was nothing. Yeah. You know, now people want everything shortened down, but I read. I'm a great reader. I read all the time.
Me too. Me too. And the longer and thicker the book, the better I like it. I read to relax. Of course, I read and research and study all the time in every kind of, you know, biblical book. But I do a lot of reading of just historical fiction and relaxation reading and just to kind of entertain myself and relax my mind. And I'm like you. I like the big, long, sweeping books and sagas and chapters. But you're right. Most people don't. So I've written this book to get it into the hands of most people.
Okay, well, amen. Well, we run out of time again. I'll schedule you to come back on in about a month or maybe sooner if something happens. But give your website one more time, and I'm going to have to say goodbye, brother.
I know. CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com. Thank you, Pastor Dan. God bless you, my brother.
All right. Goodbye and shalom to you, brother. Bye-bye.
Shalom to you.
Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops. And, you know, some people call him mainstream. I wouldn't quite say that, but, you know, he's a good dude. Go over and check out his website, carlgallops.com. And pre-order the book if you want to. But they'll send me a copy for free. But, you know, they do that, so I'll read the book, and it's easier for me to, you know, question them about the book. That makes sense. Anyway, folks, there's a lot going on. And, yes, there are a lot of people that are different than us, and we are supposed to minister to them. But we need to be very diligent in looking around because, like I said, there really are literally have been hundreds and hundreds of instances in the United States that we have stopped terrorism dead in its tracks, but they've redacted it. And we'll talk about that when we come back, because in an hour from now, we're going to come back and we're going to talk with Philip Haney, who is indeed one of the founding members of Homeland Security. But folks, pray about supporting the Mission Church. We really do need your help. Pray about supporting radio. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. Remember, always, 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 I can't say it enough, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. The Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace that no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.